Okay, so we're back. As you can hear on the recording, very focused. So this is the second lesson on Thursday morning, 15th of May. We're going to look at a bit of text. Just to kind of outline, because I had to do this for myself the other day, just outline kind of what we've done and how it fits together. We watched the play on the screen and we stopped it and made lots of notes about what was happening and what it meant in terms of characters and relationships and kind of themes of the play. We didn't look too much in detail at the text, although we did a little bit. We've then gone through and talked about themes and we've linked those ideas together. And now what we're doing really is just trying to kind of put in the bits of your essay you need to kind of put the flesh on all of this. So we're looking at critics, we've looked and we'll continue to look at bits of text that you can use so that you can kind of put it together. Because of course in an essay you need to have the overview of themes or characters, but you need to have the specific textual detail to point that out. We're not, as I've said all the way through, in any way going to look at every page of the text, nowhere near every page of the text. We simply can't do that. What we will be doing is picking out some of the key moments, the key scenes. As I said earlier, I'll give you a list of some of the key quotations as well, so that you can kind of put that together. Right. Okay, so we're going to look at page 28, at one scene 4. Right. Now this is, did I say page 24? 28, yeah, that's what I thought it was. 28 is right. This is, once Lear has given away his kingdom, he's gone to stay with Goneril, and Goneril has treated him particularly badly and is now asking him to disquantity his train and is get rid of his knights or some of his knights. And Lear is increasingly finding himself unsure as to his identity, who he is. What was interesting in the one, the version that we're going to see on the screen, Sam Mendes one, is that he suggested in his version of the play that dementia played a large part in Lear's madness. That was a really interesting idea. And he even went as far as to suggest that perhaps Shakespeare knew somebody who had suffered from dementia and was kind of basing Lear on that. It's a really really interesting idea. Of course, the truth is we don't know, and any director can choose to do what they want with it. From my perspective, I think it's you don't need to look for other reasons for his madness other than his fragmenting sense of identity. And whilst I thought it was a really interesting way of playing Lear, and there's certainly nothing wrong with it, for me, I would read his kind of growing madness coming from his sense of identity and having given away his kingdom and his role and his responsibility and the great chain of being and all those ideas. But there's nothing, and in your essay, of course, you can use Sam Mendes, he's the director, as a critic. You can't quote him directly because unless you sat there writing down what he said, but you can say Sam Mendes suggested in his recent production of the play that the king's madness was due to dementia, which is, however, another way of reading this would be to suggest. And you can go on and talk about identity. I talk about that because we're looking at the scene where we see Lear beginning to really slip into, or begin to slip into madness. Actually, we'll go back one page to 27. We'll just do a little bit before that. So what I'm going to ask you to do, and I'll leave the recording running for those of you listening, so that you can do the same if you want to. Have a look from the top, page 27. Lear, does any here know me? This is not Lear. Does Lear walk thus? And that bit down. And read down to kind of halfway down page 29, where Lear exits on line 300. Have a read through it, and just as we've done with the critics and like we did with the text before, pick out ideas, pick out quotes, lines that you can use that look at Lear's madness, that look at his descent into madness, that pick on themes perhaps of justice, of deceit, of Machiavellian ideas, of kind of power, and anything else that links to a theme that you think would be worth exploring. Pick them out, either underline them or write them in your book. You know how best you're going to revise. So I'll give you probably 8 or 9 in 10 minutes to do that, because there's a bit there to get through. And then what we'll do is go through those quotes and just pick them out and talk about them a bit. Don't forget, all of this, you're looking for quotes you can use in an exam. Just keep them short. We'll discuss them in 10 minutes. Would anyone like a biscuit to aid their concentration?
Also related to the heart, and to
Just a couple of minutes then, and we'll then have a look at it together.
Yeah.
We better go on. So, from the top of page 27 to the bottom of page 29, thereabouts, what did we pick out? What did we say about it? How can you use it in an essay?
Okay.
Let's go from the back. Danielle, what did you say?
The first line where it says, "Does any here know me? This good. Is not the year." He's yeah. lost his own sense of being, so it's like his madness leads him to lose his identity.
Yeah. Probably, it's a kind of chicken and egg, isn't it? His madness, he loses his madness. Sorry. He loses identity, which causes his madness. And then in his madness, he loses a sense of identity. It's kind of, which comes first? It's a circular argument, but definitely that link between his madness and his sense of identity. You know, and that quote, "Does any here know me? This is not Lear." They're easily rememberable quotes, and you almost don't really need to remember them. You'll know them. And his questions afterwards: Does Lear walk thus, speak thus? Where are his eyes? His notion, either his notion weakens, his discernings are lethargic, half waking, just not so. Who is it that can tell me who I am? That's the bit that I would quote from there as well. Who is it that can tell me who I am? And even if you just remembered, "Tell me who I am," or "Can you tell me who I am?" You could leave that ensuring sentence. Lear asks, "Who can tell me who I am?" Good. Very good. Elena, what did you pick up?
When I think it's Gomrid is talking to Lear, she says, "As you are old and reverend, should be wise."
Yeah.
So I kind of said it was really patronising the way she's talking to him.
Absolutely.
And making him feel as, because he's old, he should know better. So it's almost as if she's tricking him into madness.
Yeah. Good. Absolutely right. She's speaking to her father as you would expect a parent to speak to their child, and she is exactly right. You have a complete reversal of the natural order of things there, certainly according to Great Shape of Being. So you can talk about that, talk about the Great Shape of Being, talk about the sense of the world turned upside down. As you are old and reverend, should be wise. Good. Alex.
When the fool was just said, "Leah Shadow."
Yeah.
It's like he's saying that Leah isn't actually Leah because his name's gone, it's just.
Yeah.
It's not actually,
And not so much even at this point that his mind's gone, although it's going, that his identity, that he's given away the substance of who he is. The fool suggests, the very orthodox view actually of the time, the Great Chain of Being, that Lear is his role, he is king. And giving that away, actually what he's done is given away himself, he's given away the thing that he is, the person that he is. And again, it's a really lovely quote to learn, Lear's shadows. Okay, good. Megan.
I said, "To be such a man as me besought your age, which know themselves and you, it's like as if there is carers."
Yeah.
So it, like he's lost all, but it seems as if he's lost all power now.
Yeah.
And he's just there to be looked after and didn't.
Good, absolutely right. It's very patronising, isn't it? Very belittling, absolutely lost all power. And his reaction shows how he feels about it. "Darkness and devils," he says. It's bottom of page 27, line 241, 242. "Darkness and devils," he replies. Again, that plosive sound, the D, "darkness and devils." He's furious at his daughter's insolence and her, the way she talks down to him, arrogance. Good. Hannah.
Your nature, Hugh, kind of suggests his sound, he like if you keep the order of the nature and you keep the order of the melody,
yeah.
It kind of suggests that he's not a man, but everything else suggesting to us that he is.
Right. Yeah. He kind of seems to be in and out of madness here, doesn't he? Or in and out of going to the madness. And that's kind of echoed by, not only by what he says, but the way that he says it. There are times when he seems to have that kind of, the iambic pentameter, the rhythm, the authority that he had at the beginning of the play. And then there are times when that seems to be slipping from him. And although this is all given in iambic pentameter, it's iambic pentameter that's increasingly disjointed and is increasingly fragmented. We'll look at that perhaps in a second. Hear nature, hear, dear goddess, hear. Of course, that links directly to the theme of nature. What he believes by nature is the kind of natural order of things, the great change of being, divine right of kings, as the audience would have known it. That suggests that what his daughters are doing is unnatural. Can you remember who else calls nature their goddess? Edmund. Remember the soliloquy? Nature, thou art my goddess. Back on, we did look at that speech. It's on page 12. Thou, nature, art my goddess. To thy law, my services are bound. What's ironic, of course, is that Edmund's view of nature is that kind of animalistic view of nature, the strongest wins, why should I be any different just because I'm illegitimate? The kind of animalistic view of nature, if you like. What makes me any different from Edgar? But then when Lear repeats that phrase, he means that sort of nature, that the kind of imposed by God, the natural order of things. Good. What else we pick out?
Well, Lear says that I resume the shape which thou dost think I have cast off forever.
Yeah.
Like he kind of realised that his role has been taken away from him.
Good.
And it's, you could say it's madness for him to think that he can like get it back as soon as he wants
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Spot on. Thou shalt find that I'll resume the shape is on page 29, line 298, 299. Thou shalt find that I'll resume the shape which thou dost think I have cast off forever. He's beginning to realise the truth, isn't he? He's beginning to realise what he's done and what it means. And by his shape, of course, he means his identity, the thing that makes him him. What he also realises is that he's cast it off. This is his decision, although he doesn't understand the kind of what that actually means until later on in the play. He does at this point still believe he has the authority to do something about it, doesn't he? Good. Lauren? Oh, sorry.
You could say, like, his madness is shown through his anger.
Go on.
Because when he's talking to Gon,
mm-hmm.
he says, that if she's a child, then thwart, I don't know what it says, to mentor her. So, like,
yeah.
He's basically saying, like, if she has a child, then let her give her hell, really,
yeah.
Isn't he?
Absolutely, yeah.
Like, it's kind of cruel, like,
it's cruel.
Like, when he says, and like, if she stood in a, something about her womb,
yeah.
Sterility,
yeah.
So,
harsh, cruel. And it's the power of Shakespeare's play. That this same character, we talked about him, I think it was Molander was talking about the passion, yeah. Moulton, sorry, talking about the kind of madness of passion. Well, we see that passion here, don't we? We see that passion here. But it's cool, and it's the greatness of his play, this character who stands and says these things to his own daughter, that her womb conveys sterility. And from her derogate body never spring a babe to honour her. And what a thing to say to your own daughter. And then if she must teem, that animalistic phrasing again, isn't it, the vocabulary, she must teem, she must have children, create her a child of spleen, that it may live and be a thwart, disnatured torment to her. If she's got to have a child, then make it a child that will drive her mad. What a thing for a father to say to his daughter. And yet, this is the same man who by the end we feel this great pity for and this great sense of sadness for. Because he's a man who's been driven mad by his passion. Whose Hamasha, whose tragic flaw perhaps, is his inability to control his passion and his anger here. Come not between the dragon and his wrath, remember that quote. What's that bit?
And what does, is it nav or knave?
Knave is normally a way, it's kind of a way of putting somebody down, suggesting that they're either lower than you or that they're kind of mischievous. So you can either use it playfully, so he's quite often calls a fool as knave, or you can use it kind of to, if someone is on the same level as you, if you call them a knave, it kind of puts them down. Good. Lauren.
Yeah. I think he's more of a pet than because of
the
because
he's
talk about dogs.
Absolutely. There's lots of imagery of animals throughout this, isn't there? Where are we? Leah says, prepare my horses, ingratitude, thou marble hearted fiend, more hideous than when thou showest thee in a child than the sea monster. It's the top of page 28. Lots and lots of imagery here. And this all revolves around this idea of nature. This is what this is all about, in a sense. This idea of nature. And what is nature? What is natural? What is right? And it's that same thing that we've talked about a lot. These two views of nature. The kind of animalistic view of nature, the strongest wins. Kind of that Machiavellian idea, you do what you need to do. Edmund can't see any distinction between him and Edgar. We're the same. So why should I be less? And then this other view of nature, the imposed great chain of being, the orthodox received wisdom of a natural order of things that God's decided. And that idea of Lear being an obedient father would be seen as a perversion of that great chain of being, that order of things. Why would a father be obedient? Daughters are obedient to their fathers. And you're right, it does carry with it a kind of implicit or suggestion of him as a pet. Certainly as a child. On top page 27, one of the things Lear asks, when he says, does any Nahir know me? This is not Lear. Does Lear walk thus, speak thus? He says, where are his eyes? And if you're looking at the theme of blindness, sight, a nice little quote. Lear's asking himself the question, where are his eyes? Of course, in a metaphorical sense, what he's saying is, you know, why can't I see clearly? Why can't I understand? And it's a good question to ask him, Lear. Where were his eyes earlier on when he was dividing his kingdom and trusting the wrong daughters? Where are his eyes then? See better, Lear, Kent says, isn't he? And Lear's just beginning to realise, perhaps, that his eyes have failed him. His understanding has failed him. Just one more bit where we talk about animal, the kind of animalistic nature. On line 297, 298, he says, I have another daughter who I am sure is kind and comfortable. When she shall hear this of thee, with her nails she'll flay thy wolfish visage. Wolfish. He accuses his daughter being a wolf, an animal. Cruel. Again, it's that same thing, nature. She's like an animal. She's gone against the natural order of things. Okay, so another few quotes, and I just remind you what I said earlier about, I've said before about quotes. Don't spend hours learning quotes, but have some up your sleeve. So when you, I would revise this around themes if I were in your shoes. So with those themes that we've talked through, there's one more we still have to do justice. I've got a handout to give you on that. We could do that later. I was going to do more text. We might do that later, actually, get that done. I would revise this around themes, and that means you can think, right, I could use that critic, and I could use these quotes for this theme. And you can kind of learn your quotes that way, rather than just learning a page of random quotes. Learn them in context of what you would say. And as I said before, the theme might not come up, you know, it might not say, discuss the theme of madness, but it might give you a quote about madness, or it might take it from a slightly different angle. But if you've done the work, you'll be able to work that out. What have we got? We've got 5 minutes. We're not going to get anything done in 5 minutes, are we? So I think we'll leave that there. We'll come back this evening. We'll do justice this evening. I'll upload the document. I'll do it now. Upload the document to the Facebook group, and I'll get some printed out as well. And I'll stop.